If you would remain standing for the scripture reading, and if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Hear now the word of the Lord. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to direct your thoughts this evening for a few moments on a person who is perhaps a more neglected person of the Nativity, one we don't focus too much attention on usually, and that's the person of Joseph. Of course, he had a very important role in getting Mary to Bethlehem for the birth of the baby, but he doesn't have a prominent place in the narratives. He's given no song to sing. He's giving no lines to say. And so it's easy for him to kind of get shoved into the background and for us not to really think about him. And yet there's a lot in him, even in this story that we were going to look at tonight, that shows his strong character, his willingness to remain in the background, his quiet and determined obedience to the Lord. There's a couple things we can gain about Joseph just in general before we look at a specific comment Matthew has to say about that, is that Joseph was a man of humble circumstances. The word of God had not been heard from the mouth of a prophet for over 400 years. And in that time of darkness, there were people of great faith in Israel and throughout those many years. But no doubt there was a time when they despaired, would the Messiah come? And when the announcement came to those who were humble and poor and of little means, to Mary, to Elizabeth, to Zechariah, and to Joseph. And even though we know from Luke 2 that he is of the house and lineage of David, we also know from the gospel accounts that he worked as a humble carpenter. Certainly an honorable profession, but a blue-collar job and not one of prominence or power or authority. And so Joseph was a humble man, and that ought to encourage us. John Bunyan made the comment, not all the king's pilgrims are champions. Many of God's pilgrims are the humble and the meek and the lowly. And it was to such a one that the Lord came. And Joseph, no doubt, was like Simeon, like Anna, some of the other ones that we read about. He would have been a man of faith. He would have been longing for the hope and the consolation of Israel to come. But now God enfolds him into the story. And as Matthew gives us this little account that we read here today, he gives us a one-word description of Joseph that is significant, and we see it being played out in his life. And there he says in verse 19 that Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Joseph was characterized by righteousness. wasn't a righteousness that he could claim of his own. It was a righteousness given to him by God, but we see it lived out and acted out in his life. And the first thing we see about his righteousness is that he took the commands and the law of God completely seriously. And he realized that he had a total commitment to the Word of God. Because here, as this drama begins, he finds out that his wife is pregnant. And he knows it's not him. And the anguish of his heart would have been great as this woman that he loved and had hoped to spend the rest of his life with was found with child. And at least humanly speaking, must have been an infidelity. And so he was grieved about what would break the relationship. But he couldn't escape the command of God that was sin and that was wrong. And he was a righteous man, and he had to do what was right, even though it broke his heart. But not only as a righteous man was he committed to the Word of God, as a righteous man, had compassion for those who sin. In our minds, we get it in our minds that if you're righteous, you can't be compassionate, but that's not the law. The law is righteous and compassionate. And though he knew he couldn't release himself from the obligations of the law, he didn't take delight in bringing any kind of humiliation to Mary. And so he devised it in his mind that he would divorce her quietly. He loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he loved his neighbor as himself. And as he was going through all these plans in his own mind, God comes to him through the voice of the angel and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And God comes with a command for Joseph to take Mary as his wife. And we can see his righteousness here because he immediately obeys. The very next morning, before any time is gone. You see, if righteousness is embedded in us, we're not going to find excuses not to follow God's will and his ways. Now, you and I will not get angel visitations, but the Holy Spirit will take his word and apply it to our hearts. And if we are righteous, we will follow that word. Joseph followed that word. A couple other things about his righteousness and how it plays out in this whole scenario, in this scene, is he took Mary home to be his wife. And as a righteous man, he was willing to bear the shame that his wife would bear. He knew what the rumors would be. In fact, one of the accusations against Jesus in his ministry was that he was an illegitimate child. And Joseph knew that by taking Mary into his home and by her becoming his wife, that he would have to bear the shame of all of that scorn and those rumors and that gossip. And as a righteous man, he was willing to do that. And this, he very much mirrors the one who would be born of Mary. Because you see, Jesus Christ, though he was innocent, yet he came to bear the shame that you and I bring to him because of our sin. Joseph was willing to bear that shame. He was a righteous man, and he was willing to serve the Lord and serve his wife. And there's a little footnote, almost unnoticed, in verse 25, where after he brings Mary into his home, it says he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. that which was his rights, privilege, opportunity, joy of marriage, he sacrificed, he gave up for the sake of the work of God and for the sake of his wife. In our culture, in our society, sometimes in our own minds, we think, no, I have rights and I have privileges and I deserve this and I deserve that. And Joseph is saying, I'm giving up my rights for the glory of God. Here too, he mirrors the Blessed One that came from Mary, because Jesus Christ, even though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being found in appearance as a man. Jesus himself humbled himself so that he could bear in himself our iniquity. So we have a wonderful encouragement, wonderful picture of righteousness. And in the backdrop of a disbelieving age, a corrupt age, we have Joseph. But where did his righteousness come from? Well, it didn't come from himself. For we know that within us it dwells no good thing. Where can righteousness come from for us? Well, the answer is in the very message the angel gave to Joseph. What's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son. And you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. That's the source of our righteousness. I'm not going to stand here and say, see, Joseph, do as he did. That's no good. But I will stand here and tell you, look at Jesus and believe in him and let his righteousness transform your life. Let his forgiveness pour over your soul. Let his mercy bring comfort to your grief, and may his peace guard and overwhelm your soul as you live in this world, in the midst of darkness and unbelief many times, but as you live in this world and experience the blessedness of his righteousness. It's not Joseph you need to be like, it's Christ. That's God's plan for you. That's his ordained plan for you, that you would be conformed to the likeness of his Son. May we trust Jesus and be like him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for the glorious truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is the Savior who will cleanse us from all sin. I pray, Lord, that as we continue to worship you, you might bring the truth and the reality of that hope home to us, and that we might find our hope and our peace and our strength and our righteousness in him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.